This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Olson Osterlin for a deeper look this Thursday morning at 9:30 a.m. My guest will be Andy Worthington, UK journalist and author of The Guantanamo Files. He'll help make sense of the changing political landscape around the prison camp and bring us up to date on efforts to have the men released and the prison closed. That's this Thursday morning at 9:30 a.m. right here on KBOO Community Radio.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 10 o'clock. Coming up at 10:15 on Flashpoints, Dennis Bernstein speaks with Birgitta Jónsdóttir, a member of the Parliament of Iceland and co-producer of WikiLeaks Collateral Murder, and Christopher Simpson, author of Blowback about the expanding NSA bugging scandal. At 11 on stage and studio, host Dee Mae Roberts previews two summer festivals. Her guests are Tish Letter, director of the Risk Reward Festival, which pushes artistic boundaries in dance, theater, and music, and curator-performer Eleanor O'Brien of Coho Productions' Solo Summer 2013, featuring five female solo artists. At 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Galavan interviews Viennese bike collector and architect Michael Embacher, whose collection forms a basis of the Portland Art Museum's new show, Cyclopedia, Iconic Bicycle Design. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre.
At KBOO.fm, you can listen to programs you missed and other special web-only programs. On the homepage, under the tab Latest Audio, you'll find an interview with the Manhattan Transfer, a 1983 speech by Gloria Martin, one of the founders of Radical Women, an interview about the Merry Meet Gathering, and more. That's KBOO.fm, under Latest Audio. Thanks for listening.
In Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, June 11th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.fm on the web. Well, Edward Snowden's face floats above the world, while down below the punditry haggles over the terms traitor and whistleblower. I think many agree that a hero pretty much covers it. The Klamath tribes closer to home in the federal government called. Now, the word call in this context is a very specific term. We'll get to that later in the show. They called their water rights in southern Oregon's Klamath Basin for the first time yesterday. Quite obviously, the Klamath tribes have precedence here. And the dangers of metadata. We're going to try to speak with Christopher Simpson on this very critical issue. We've been assured that metadata is harmless, and the fact that the government has basically issued all of us with a national security letter shouldn't be cause for us to breathe a sigh of relief. No, indeed. Metadata links all of us, all of the information on each individual to all other individuals. So mistakes, of course, creep in with this much information flowing in so many directions. And innocent individuals could be tied into networks of other not-so-innocent individuals and never find their way out. That is the danger of metadata and that is what is being glossed over and buried in words. First, this from the National Weather Service. Showers at the outset, burning off to partly sunny skies. The high near 65, light south winds 6 to 11 miles per hour. Tonight, increasing clouds, showers perhaps, and a low around 52. Overcast and drizzly tomorrow with a high near 65. And tomorrow evening, it looks like clouds overhead, lows around 52, and a light northwest wind 5 to 13 miles per hour. Regarding the alternative forecast, we have a waxing crescent flower moon in Gemini, 2 days old. The advice from synodic biodynamic and sidereal sides of farming, growing, are all pretty much the same, consistent from yesterday. The synodic advice is so leafy vegetables and annuals or grains is something you might want to try. It's as an edible cover crop. And it is not a good time to pick vegetables if they're to be stored. The biodynamic forecast has this for us. With the moon in Gemini, it's an air sign. So good time to sow flowering plants. Sidereal forecast with the moon in Gemini, dry and barren yet good for promoting flower growth. And that's it for the alternative and the conventional forecasts. Moving straight on into the news from around Cascadia. We also are awaiting today, this is the first vote on immigration reform, and we will see what the outcome is there. One would expect that to be a certainty, but there are so many things in play right now that from on all sides that we could be surprised here yet again. However, in Cascadia, pressure is building on our good old Mayor Charlie Hales, a man squaring his shoulders, lifting his chin, and bravely marching into the past. Anyway, Hales has released the city's investigation of John Graham. The Portland auditor, Levon Griffin Villade, and others said yesterday that the city ought to release a report confirming whistleblower allegations against a top administrator who tried to divert water and sewer money to protect his office from budget cuts. This story goes back a ways, and we're picking up the threads now. It is somewhat of a disgrace, and disgrace stains have a way of spreading. The auditor said that Portland government needs more transparency and trust. She also said it lacks strong employee protections. And she will pursue creating a streamlined whistleblower process directed by her office. Now, if that comes to pass, if we really did have a muscular, as it were, whistleblower policy and process in Portland city government, I wonder what will be revealed. There must be a great many people out there who are burning up with information they'd like to share with us. In any case, yesterday, members of the Portland City Council declined to discuss the investigation. The Griffin-Villade is a complex issue that has to do with money and also a bit of indecent behavior, and we can put all of that on the KBOO website for you to peruse at your leisure. Story here, though, is what if we did have a strong protections in place for whistleblowers? It's again Charlie Hales. The issue this time in this story is Baruti Arati, Portland Mayor Hales' top public safety advisors, apologized for suggestive comments that he made on Thursday evening to a Multnomah County Commission. This goes from last week. Portland Mayor, it's about time. You'd think they'd apologize last Thursday and not today. Portland Mayor Charlie Hales has called equity a top priority. Equity, right? And he's opted to keep oversight of the city's Office of Equity and Human Rights when he reassigned bureaus last week. Oh, Charlie. But yesterday, he and his staff were tight-lipped about suggestive comments his top public safety advisor made about a Multnomah County commissioner at a public event. All that Hales would say was that they are taking the situation seriously. And how? Maybe this would be a good time for a whistleblower to come forth. Also, maybe it's a good time to see if we've got Dr. Margaret Flowers on the line. We are going to be talking more about single payer. As the so-called Obamacare morphs into various types of monsters from state by state, many people are beginning to take a second look at single payer. Many opponents of single payer are beginning to take a second look. It does, as was, you know, this is a classic, I told you so, but in any case, a leading proponent and one of the most knowledgeable authorities on the subject is Dr. Margaret Flowers. We're going to be speaking with her today. Good morning, Dr. Flowers.
Good morning, Chris.
Hi, thank you so much. We're so pleased to have you back. Welcome back to the KBOO airwaves. Sorry about that. We have been following the saga of Obamacare and the way that the American healthcare delivery system has abjectly failed most Americans, except for example, members of Congress and senators, who of course have excellent healthcare plans. If it's good enough for them, why isn't it good enough for all the rest of us?
It's really telling because just a few months ago, members of Congress from both of the major parties actually met in secret to see if they could exempt themselves and their staff from the Affordable Care Act, from Obamacare. So that just gives you a sense of how terrible it is and how much we really need to join the rest of the civilized world and have a real healthcare system that's universal and that's about health. And that's why we're still pushing for single payer. And as you know, the Affordable Care Act is really not the solution.
It's a giveaway. Once again, it's the Obama administration bowing to the private insurance industry. Again, this is more of this privatization of every aspect of life in this country. It seems that the Affordable Care Act is really only affordable for very few people, and that many are going to be extremely disillusioned and hacked off about what they are expected to do in order to I've failed to see how any part of the Affordable Care Act can possibly work long term, but I can certainly see how the insurance companies must be pleased with it. Can you talk a bit more about the privatization of healthcare? And this is in effect a form of
We call it the Profit Enhancement and Protection Act.
Yes.
for the health industry. I mean, you've clearly nailed it. It moves us further in the direction of privatizing our health care. The legislation was written by the members of the health industry, particularly Liz Fowler, who was the Senior Vice President of Public Policy for WellPoint, one of the largest insurance companies. So it was, when we talk about affordable care, what is being defined as affordable is not actually going to be care. What people are going to be left with when the mandate kicks in, which is this coming January, the states are required to have their health insurance exchanges up by October so people can start purchasing insurance. And if you don't purchase insurance and you're not otherwise covered through a public program, you will have to pay a penalty when you pay your taxes. So what people are going to find that they afford are these plans that cover maybe 60 or 70% of their covered health care costs. They still have high deductibles. They still have high co-pays. They still have to pay 100% for services that are not covered. And so we've just really codified into law what we call underinsurance. And we already know in this country that when people are underinsured and they have a serious accident or illness, it leads them to either, one, not get the care that they need, and we have so many preventable deaths as a result in this country, or they do find ways to pay for the care and often go into bankruptcy, lose their homes. So the majority of bankruptcies in this country are from people who had medical illness and costs, and about almost 80% of those people that went bankrupt from medical costs had some form of health insurance. So this is clearly not the solution, and people are going to really see that over the next few years when they see that this insurance is not going to actually allow them to get the care they need.
And one final question, as wrap things up a bit short of time. The exchanges themselves seem to be chaotic and interpreted apparently differently from state to state. The fact too that it's not a consistent system that encompasses the whole nation. It would seem to, as people do, people are more mobile now, they move about more, and it would seem that we are going to be seeing utter chaos.
Yeah, exactly, and that's why we need a national health program that, you know, is universal and that covers people wherever they happen to be in the country. It's really interesting what's happening as it gets closer to the time for the health insurance exchanges to be up, that a number of large insurance companies that have been kind of playing along and negotiating and saying they're going to be part of the exchange are then starting to pull out and say, oh, no, we didn't really mean that. We don't want to be in your exchange. So it really, you know, it's still really up in the air to what is actually going to be in existence in October and how many plans will actually be even on the exchange.
Thank you so much for that. Flat out of time. Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Margaret Flowers, leading proponent of single payer and an extraordinary articulate activist on behalf of many people. This has been a Cascadia for Tuesday, June 11, 2013. Janet Anderson engineered the show today. Thanks so much. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints. We'll hear, be joined by Iceland MP, politician, and co-producer of WikiLeaks, collateral murder producer Birgitta Johannesdóttir, and the NSA bugging scandal expands and goes viral. We'll speak to Christopher Simpson.